Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome to Soul Sister Thursday. This is Maria DiGiovanni, and I'm welcoming you to Women on the Edge with Becky Ryan. Becky, take it away.
Hello, everybody. Women on the Edge. It is Becky Ryan, and we are having another chaotic week. Everywhere I'm looking online, everything that had happened last week, tons and tons and tons of information. How are you today?
We are here. I actually have one of our music directors and producers, Mr. Jimmy James, actually in the studio with us today. So we are waiting anxiously to hear everything you have to share.
Well, I think we better go and do a little bit of kudos. I saw something on my Facebook, and Jeff and I, my husband, were listening to his music. And I actually even looked it up at SoundCloud.com, MessageMon, M-O-N. Jimmy, you're phenomenal. We need to put more stuff out there.
Hello.
I know that you've been handling it all, but we've been going through each and every one. Oh, I am so happy you're here, and I'm happy that we have so much talent with us.
I know. It's really exciting. I've been waiting for Jimmy to really take a grasp of all of this, and finally, after all these years, he's like, okay, I'll share my music with you now, and we're blessed, and now we get to be able to promote, and we will be playing one of his songs that is going to be one of our new songs on Soul Sister Radio, and that will be between your show and Susan's show later on in this broadcast. So go ahead.
Oh, that's excellent. Oh, good. Well, I'm happy. I didn't know this. I like it. It's like a surprise. It's like my birthday.
It is.
And it can be my birthday song.
Exactly.
As long as I don't get any older, I'm happy with this one.
Yeah, well, it's our new birthright. There you go. We get younger now.
Well, I really like the Life Goes On. Can he hear us talking?
Well, actually, he just walked out.
Or should we wait later?
He'll be right back, so.
Oh, he's leaving us. He's like, okay, these girls can talk about me.
Yeah, he's a typical guy, right? He likes talking about himself, but.
We get to talk about him. Well, I wanted to tell you something. After last Saturday, and I did get a whole bunch of notes. I put them together, and I'm trying to go over half the stuff. I think we put a million nuggets into last Saturday.
Yeah.
And so many other questions, even from Elisa, people at my work, people I'm walking around and talking to. We were touching a lot of subjects about everything with Chris Don. Am I pronouncing it right? Donner?
Yes.
Donner. Okay.
Like that.
That led right into everything with the police, what's trending. And we're going to find out today, I'm going to be putting him back into this. And I know that we were going to be leading into this anyway. But again, we have more news about police officers. We have issues with the FBI that are trending all over CNN. But I thought, can I start with a little bit of fun before we get really deep?
Oh, yeah, please do.
Okay. Google is launching Google Glasses. Have you ever heard of them?
No, what's that?
Okay, are you by your computer?
Yes, I'm right on it.
Okay, go to google.com/glasses. And see if you get to it.
Google.com/glasses. Okay. That is an error, it says.
I think it's too many people. Let me just go and see. I'm going to go and send you this link.
Let's see. Google Glasses.
Yeah, it's even waiting for me, so maybe it is an error on this one. There are articles.
News.
And I can go and
Google wants to stylize Google Glasses. Are they actually glasses that you wear?
They're glasses with a camera, and it will go by your voice to take pictures, and they're asking people all over the social networks to go in and put this special tag so that Google can track that you are talking about them, and they're going to hand select some people to start putting these glasses on and tracking their life.
Oh, my gosh. Wait a minute. You got to say that again because Jimmy didn't hear it, and I want the audience to really hear what Google Glasses are. Say it again.
Okay, well, one, Google, I guess, just doesn't get enough information. These Google Glasses, to me, are outstanding. I want them as a geek, but let me go and say it very clearly. There is a camera built into these cool glasses. They're sleek. They're sexy. They're fun. To track your life. And while you talk, you can go and sit here and say, you know, take a picture, and it'll snap it, and it'll be sending it to your emails. You can tell it to send it to people. Mm.
Such a trip.
How much are they?
They're free. Right now we have to go. I will send us all the pictures. Talk about invasive, but as a techie kind of a person, I'm kind of excited, but I think they get bored.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to come up with like a whole new persona and change my emails, maybe set up a whole new Gmail so it's like a new person with an exciting life. Hmm. But they have where you can go and take pictures of birthday parties. They have the videos out there of some of the people that are already wearing them. I have no idea of how much they would cost, but isn't that some fun?
That doesn't sound fun. Well, how long have we been talking about getting Soul Sister TV up and running? And Jimmy actually has a few questions if we have time today to talk about Google and all that wonderful stuff. But this would be perfect for what we were talking about. So these Google Glasses.
Well, I'm actually posting on your Facebook, but we'll put them later into the show notes. And everybody will be able to go look, see what Google's asking, compete with the millions. And when I signed up for it, last night, there was more than 500,000 people. So
wow.
I don't know how many people are going to be out there, and I'm sure that these glasses are expensive, but I think we should let Jimmy. I think Jimmy would have a more exciting life.
Yeah, no kidding.
You and I sit here, study, take care of our kids.
Yeah, Jimmy, put some Google Glasses on Jimmy and document it.
You cannot leave your head.
You got to remember that, and I shared this with Jimmy, that Jimmy's scripture is 1 Corinthians 9:19-23. And if you read it from the Message Bible, that is truly his scripture. So putting some Google Glasses on him as he walks, you know, armored up and as that guardian and as this artist that he is really going to go out there, you know, this would be cool.
It would be super. I think it'd be fun. I think it'd be invasive. I don't know. For the non-Christian walking religious, I'm just wondering what kind of videos they can put up there.
I know, crazy.
I don't know.
Exactly. Oh, that's funny.
Not to say that my mind is in the gutter, but you know, let's go into something more fun, okay? Because
yeah.
We have so many more things to go through. I wanted to let you guys know that there is a new way of putting resumes out there, and I'm sure that there's some people out there that have been trying to find ways to put themselves above the rest, especially with these Google Glasses. I am going to be sending you this link that is going everywhere. Do you mind if I put it on your Facebook? I'll tell people.
Is this the candy bar resume?
Yes.
Absolutely. Go ahead. Send it to me.
When did you see it? I just fell in love with it.
No, you told me about it, so I'm sharing what you are saying. Yeah, post it. I'll go ahead and post it because I have it here, so that's cool.
Okay, good. Because when I saw this, I was like, okay, instead of having calories and different things. However, there was one lady who made a comment, and it just made me laugh. And she ended up going, I can't wait to find out, because it depends on, you know, like she goes, well, it depends. I'm kind of a fussy eater.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next line goes and says, well, I'm not going to make any assessment until I open it up and test it out, you know, unwrap it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going, you can't be saying you're unwrapping this person. It could be a lawsuit. You can't be doing that, even if they do have the candy bar, but something sweet inside would be nice.
Right.
Well, I'm going to hit Richard Branson.
Okay.
Now, in this economy, and we love Richard Branson, don't we?
Love.
Well, he put out an article saying top 6 tips to screw business meetings as usual. To screw business meetings as usual, right?
Okay.
He's kind of creative. He's edgy. The only thing is that everything that he put in there was like, wow, this is wonderful. Wonderful. Why don't you make sure that you step outside of yourself, surprise people with unique destinations, have impromptu, you know, surprises within the meetings to keep this going, surprise individuals. I just don't know if that's the kind of meetings I can afford.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to do slideshows. He went through all of it, and I was going, okay, economically, I'm not there. But his ideas are fantastic. I wish he was my boss.
I know.
Go in there, and I will post that link. And to sum up the rest of this, there is another article called 10 Ways to Disrupt Your Career.
Mm-hmm.
And I recommend anybody reading about changing their life, staying on a path, building a passion to read this article. There's like nuggets, and it's
mm-hmm.
all about if you sit there and focus at the same thing, you get up at 9 a.m., you finish work at 5 p.m., and there is no change.
Mm-hmm.
You're still. You're dead. And she goes through some very interesting points, and it's by J.T. O'Donnell, and she's the CEO of Career Realism Media.
Mm-hmm.
It is being passed around because she also brought up something that would be completely free for people to go into, and it's called alltop.com, alltop.com. Go into alltop, and you don't have to wait a second because we have so much more to cover. You go and you put in some keywords. Find out in your industry what people are doing, what people are reading, and get new nuggets in your life. Build up a passion and start disrupting your life so that you have something to go through, build on. And if you really have reached the end of the line, find a new career. Alltop has a whole bunch of articles. You can get lost.
At the
end, let's go into some fun before, and it's a nice transition. The FBI has been busted.
Okay.
have you heard about this on CNN or Fox or News? Okay.
No.
FBI is now battling a rash of sexting among their employees. FBI employees on their FBI phones, on their FBI computers, busting people for sex. Exploitation. Going after perverts, druggies. They have photos. They're even going after, you know, like people on MySpace for putting up a photo of their ex-girlfriend. And now the FBI has been exposed. They're doing a crackdown. They're grabbing all of their FBI phones, cell phones, text messages, computer.
Who's policing the FBI, does it say?
No, but you know what? I know that they have a lady, but that would lead us into our next one. So I'm going to send you the link for the FBI misbehaving. The motto, what is it? Fidelity? Bravery? Integrity?
Yeah.
I just think that this one's funny. But again, everything back to police officers, FBI, and Maria, I'm happy that you posted that wonderful article about God creating the police officer.
Yes. What did you think of that? And tell our audience where you found it and why I posted it.
I didn't find it. I found it through you on your post about loving the officers.
Yes. Like I said, I really, really, truly believe that, and again, it's in the Beatitudes, and I think it's in the Gospel of Mark, if I'm not mistaken, where Christ says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they're called the sons of man or the sons of God. And I truly believe it, and I really think it's a ministry that being called to be a public servant, such as a law enforcement officer, is truly a calling. It's a calling in a ministry of God.
I agree, and I bless each and every one of them for taking this on and all that they take on that I cannot even understand.
Mm-hmm. However, we also have to look at the reality of what stress is doing, but we'll get into that when you're ready.
I'm ready. I'm ready because we had the fun with the FBI, and we're now going to go on to something that is trending everywhere, and I think everybody's looking for it. A judgment has finally been set, and 38 years have been sentenced to who, Maria? Take it on.
His name is Drew Peterson, and Drew Peterson's fourth wife, Stacy, she disappeared. And lo and behold, her family was saying, no way. That was part of the truth, but I'm not sure about the Mexico thing, so we'll have to really confirm about that. Drew Peterson's third wife was dead. She had died in 2004, and she was found in a dry bathtub. And her family just didn't ever believe that it was an accidental death. And after Drew Peterson's fourth wife disappeared with two little children that she had just had, the family of the third, Kathleen Savio, that family said, please, let's exhume her body and really look at it. And today, Drew Peterson was sentenced to 38 years for the murder of his third wife.
Wow.
Savio with his fourth wife, Stacy Peterson, still missing.
There is nothing. They haven't found anything. They don't know. Is there anything that we know?
Nothing. She has just disappeared. And again, this is a topic that I am putting my heart and soul back into it, because for years I allowed a wonderful, amazing woman by the name of Susan Murphy Milano to take over this whole thing, and she really championed it, and God called her home last October 28th, which really, this was her last case. Finding Stacy Peterson was truly her last case, and she actually passed away October 28th, the same day that Stacy Peterson had disappeared. So it's crazy how it's all connected, and Drew Peterson, if nobody knows who he is a former sergeant on Chicago PD, and that is the same police department that Susan Murphy Milano's father worked for as well.
Would they have known each other at all?
I don't know. I don't think so. That's a really good question. Chicago PD is like LAPD. I mean, it's huge. There's so many different, units in that whole department. So it's a big police department.
Well, this has been going on for so long. Now, when did the first wife again die or was in the tub?
Actually,
the dry tub.
Yeah, the third wife. And she died in 2004, if I'm not mistaken. And again, these are cases that, because, you know, I've been in the middle of it for so long, I really didn't have to tell you the truth. I didn't want to be in it as much as other people were, because of my name, the negative connotation behind it all. So this has been going on for a long time, and this was Susan's dream. So
I was looking, if you didn't mind, I went ahead and Googled 2004. And then it turns right around. He doesn't even wait long. And I do recall you had told me, Victoria, his second wife, first wife doesn't talk, the second wife, what do we know about Victoria?
I'm not quite sure. If I don't know much about any of the cases. I'm going to put Susie on. Susie, if you're there, I'm going to put your mic on live. If you know anything about the Drew Peterson case, do you know anything about the Drew Peterson case, Susan?
I saw pieces of it on the television when he, finally got arrested for the last wife, when he was laughing and stuff. And, and it
what?
Just,
I don't know. When was he laughing?
When they arrested him, he was laughing in the camera. It was like he was auditioning for a part in a movie.
Yes.
He had no remorse.
Becky, I had told you earlier that the Drew Peterson triggered me too badly. It was one of the things that I couldn't do it. I couldn't watch him on TV. I couldn't. Being married to a personality that could trigger just like this gentleman. Again, I'm not saying these men are bad. They're probably great men that happen to just walk a line that's just a little bit off. And again, Drew did things that he shouldn't have done. And there's a part of me that still wants to protect these officers because I understand the stress that they are under, and that is why this show is so important to talk about the post-traumatic stress disorder. But Susie, you're right. When he looked right into the camera and just laughed like he knew he was going to get away with it, it just triggered me to my core because I remember looking into those same eyes, and when you have looked into the devil's eyes, you know it, and it never goes away.
No, he's very narcissistic, and my ex-husband watched his case. In fact, he was obsessed with watching all these kind of cases, and it disturbed me greatly looking at my husband as the same personality watching this stuff. It was almost like he was getting ready to do something,
and it
disturbed me. So I didn't really watch it in detail because I don't like watching people that act like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's and again, when you are a law enforcement officer, okay, you got to think about, you see the worst of the worst of the worst. And it is a very, you do get a God complex. And whenever you are in a field that gives you that authority, and it's unfortunate that stress can cause these guys to just do things that they think they can get away with, and that's unfortunate. And anyway, Becky, go ahead.
Well, you know what I was thinking of, and this is way off track, but yet back to the same. You know, when they were talking, and I'm sorry for any Catholics that are out there that they're going to think I'm thinking negatively or building that. No, I know that Catholics are being put under a lot of scrutiny, but we have some priests that have been proven to be pedophiles. They had a calling. And then we have police officers who had a calling. I'm kind of wondering if some personalities, like what you guys are both talking about, is not something that develops overnight.
No, it's not. And how?
So I'm kind of wondering if they're attracted to the power. Go on.
I gotta share this with you because Susie, Becky and I I've been sharing things with Becky, and Becky, you've known me for since 2007 or 8, right?
Yeah.
And I've been sharing some things with you, and I'm going to share some more on the air things that you would never. And so you just brought it up, and we've got 5 minutes left. Doc, his name was Father John Lenihan, and yep, I'm going to say his name, Father John Lenihan. And if you remember the priest that was he was the priest X, and he was actually sharing and admitting all the stuff to the LA Times, and this priest ended up actually sexually abusing little girls, or I should say teenage girls, at the school that he was the parish priest at, and then he made them get abortions. Well, this Father John Lenihan baptized my daughter, and he married me the second time to my pedophile second husband. It's an interesting life. And
it isn't so.
I'm telling you. But that's okay. You know, I'm starting to come face to face with it all as we share, and I use names, and my mouth is starting to open up and close, and it may be in pain, but wow, we are not going to shut up now. So, Becky, you've got 4 minutes, and then we're going to take a station identification break, a commercial break, and then we're going to listen to Jimmy James' song, his new original song on Soul Sister Radio, as we get ready for The Advocate. So you have 3 minutes, Becky. Go ahead.
3 minutes. I think that we need to go and look at some more positives on our officers and the people that are leading the ministries. We need to also be very aware that we need to be asking for discernment when we're dealing with people, because people that are psychopaths, narcissistic, have personality disorders, we're going to end up we're not going to be able to see the signs unless we end up having, from God, wisdom and discernment. Sometimes these people are put here, I guess, to build up a wall, but we need to go and build up a wall around these people and get them out of wonderful professions such as the police force, the FBI, ministers, people taking care of our children, coaches, teachers. Help me out. Can you think of other things? You guys are hearing all these things. Why?
Anything. Susie, you're a nurse. Look at what's going on in the news right now. And with one of our ambassadors in Texas, where her OBGYN drug raped and videotaped her, and I guess there's a new one out there that just did it. So anybody that has authority over our bodies, our minds, our souls, because verbal abuse, emotional abuse, mental abuse, but there are two abuses that, I really want to touch on, and that's spiritual abuse and sexual abuse. That touches parts of your core that you can't, that it's very difficult to get back. 2 more minutes, Becky, go.
And well, let's go. We're going to pray the physical ones. We can see that it's happening. We can treat it as a nurse. Doctor, we can go and sew that up, maybe heal it up. We can figure out ways to go around it. But the spiritual abuse people might be carrying for a long time. I want us to go and touch this more. I want you guys to get going and see the other one. And I cannot wait to hear Jimmy James.
Okay, here we go. As we take our station identification, we're going to listen to Jimmy's brand new song, Her Soul Sister. Well, okay, he's saying it's an old song. Okay, it's an old song. Here we go.
It's a new song to me. It's my birthday.
Exactly.
Happy birthday.
It's not really my birthday. It's not really your birthday. Okay, here we go as we get ready for The Advocate with Susan Chingazar. So thank you so much for Women on the Edge as we get ready to listen to Jimmy James. Here we go.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio. Radio.
And that was live from Jimmy James. Yeah, and thank you for joining us on Soul Sister Thursday. This is The Advocate with Susan Shengazar. Susan, take it away.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Maria. Thank you, Jimmy James. Today on The Advocate, we have two amazing women that I had the pleasure of meeting this past year. both are authors in a book called 8 Ways to Say I Love My Life. I was privileged to go and see their monologue screenplay that was held in Los Angeles, and it was outstanding. Both of these women, they're 2 of 8 in this book and in the monologue, triumph in their life. We're going to have with us, before I bring them on, I'll give you a brief intro to them. We have Laura DeAnda. She's a communication specialist, speaker, leader, distinguished toastmaster. She serves as a book club coordinator for Las Comadres and Friends National Book Club, the first in her family to earn a college degree in philosophy and communications. She spent 15 years in newsrooms, including as features news editor at the Los Angeles Times. She's also served as a teen helpline trainer in Connecticut and a helpline volunteer in Rhode Island and Texas. The book, 8 Ways to Say I Love My Life, is an Imagine Award-winning play, now published book, by 8 Latinas that celebrate spirituality, self-acceptance, life lessons, and offers hope to all. The foreword was written by Grammy Award-winning singer Vicky Carr and edited by Sylvia Mendoza. The book of Latina Woman, the Imagen Award, honors the positive portrayals of Latinos in the entertainment industry. Also with us today, we have Susan. And Susan happens to have a different background, and that is she was also in a domestic violence relationship. And Susan Orozco is a survivor. She, as a result, has learned to use her experiences to win the game of life. She has learned to love her life, and she has done this by embracing the good and the bad. She believes to own your past is to own your life. Sound bites of her philosophy: when you think you are being put down, be aware that it's not what's happening. What's really happening is your low self-esteem is rising. That is so true. Blame is just giving somebody else the power to change things and deeming yourself a victim. The biggest challenge we all have is to summon the courage to let go of who we think we are and allow who we really are to emerge from under the debris left over by others. More about Susan. Susan is a certified master hypnotist, public speaker, and author. She is happily in love with her husband and children and her life. Susan is committed to spreading the message: life is filled with love and joy. This lifestyle is highly attainable for anybody, regardless of your past. You follow the story to tell about yourself. Susan Orozco is the author of Latino Power, 7 Powers All Latinos Have Upon Which to Build an Empire. She co-authored the book 8 Ways to Say I Love My Life and has shared the Imagen Award with 7 other writers who produced this stage play, 8 Ways to Say I Love My Life in Los Angeles. Her third book, The Clean Soul Method, Get What You Want by Letting Go of What You Don't Want, is going to be released in the fall of 2013. So with us today, we have Susan and Laura. So I'd like to bring Laura on first. Are you there, Laura?
I am, Susie. Thank you.
How are you?
Doing great.
And Laura, I met you at a Latina event, and some people know that my last name right now is still Ortiz, but I am not Latina. I'm actually Turkish. And so having a Latina last name has been very hard for me, because when I took that name, all of a sudden my phone calls came to me in Spanish. My mail came to me in Spanish. And it was very funny to me because growing up with a Turkish last name, that never happened to me. I never got my mail in Turkish. But when I changed my name, that happened to me, and it was very disturbing. And so I had a hard time with it. And it was very funny. And then being a nurse at the hospital, people will grab my name tag and say, why don't you speak Spanish? Your name is Ortiz. And it is just something that I have learned to just laugh about because I have changed my name so many times. It's so funny when that happens to you. So when I watched your monologues, I laughed from the gut. You women did such a phenomenal job putting that together. And I just say, anyone who is listening who has not seen this screenplay, you have to go see it. I just commend all of you. But in reading your little bio, you were on the teen helpline. Can you tell me more about that? I lived in Connecticut for 2 years, and so was that like a teen runaway hotline, or what
sure,
was that?
Sure, absolutely. Well, I first became involved with the United Way helpline because when I lived in San Antonio, I actually, a guardian angel I spoke with United Way Helpline in Texas to help us with our family situation. My father had a mental illness, and I reached out because we needed and wanted help. So I continued actually that path. After I graduated from college, I volunteered with the United Way Helpline myself in Texas. And then when I moved to Connecticut, I was able to help train teens for a teen helpline in Hartford, Connecticut. And that was, yes, we were taking calls from the teenagers were taking calls from students who were wanting to talk to others. And yes, it could sometimes be suicide, or it could just be simply students who were lonely, just needed to reach out and needed to hear a voice. And I also was involved with the Good Samaritans also when I lived in Rhode Island as well.
Was the hotline mainly for mental illness and you just took other calls?
It covered all. It was a helpline for teenagers, so it was run by teenagers. The volunteers or the trainers were all adults. Myself included, but the teenagers were answering phones and phone calls that were made by other students. So it was a teen-to-teen approach.
That's amazing. And so you've lived in a few different places then.
I have. Yeah, it's been great. I grew up in Texas, but because my chosen profession is newspapers, you go where the jobs are. So I've actually lived on the East Coast and also on the West Coast. And that's where I currently am. I'm on the West Coast.
So my daughter worked for a newspaper for years. She was running 7 newspapers in St. Louis at one time. And so I understand that business. Now, you are a writer, and when did you first want to become a writer? How old were you?
Well, I consider myself to be more of an editor, and I do that. I say that because my experience and background has been copy editing. So I was on the news desks of newspapers, and I was editing reporter stories, writing headlines and captions, and then I'd go on to actually design the covers as well. So I consider myself first to be an editor and then secondarily a writer.
Now, are you writing something else right now besides?
I actually am, yeah. I've got some, besides the journaling, I've got plans for an e-book as well. And I will send you information as soon as that comes out.
Perfect. Now, your story in the book is called My Father's Daughter. Do you want to give the listening audience a little bit about your story in 8 ways to live my life?
Sure. My specific story, I consider my chapter to be really a love and appreciation letter to my parents. And I so much appreciate the fact that they wanted more for me than they wanted for themselves. My father's best asset was definitely his mind. He loved to read, and he passed that on to me. I consider libraries to be my second home. And through the course of that, his mind actually deteriorated, and he was diagnosed with schizophrenia. And so I talk about that. I talk about going through the ordeal of his mental illness. And also I go in deeper to even my own. When my grandmother died, I actually experienced depression. So I got to have firsthand experience about what it feels like to not be yourself. So overall, it's a love and appreciation letter to my parents. And then there are several specific points about overcoming challenges and loving my life, not despite things that have happened, but embracing it all.
Now, the girl who played you in monologue, is that the same person that is in each time you guys run the screenplay, or do you change your characters?
We actually, with the first time that 8 Ways to Say I Love My Life premiered in 2009, we actually had 7 actresses, and Rita Mosqueda Marmolejo portrayed her own monologue. So we had really 8 women. This time around, you saw we had a shorter time frame to work with. So we had 4 actresses, and Karina Noel actually portrayed my monologue on the stage. And also, Karina Noel also portrayed her mother's monologue, Belle Hernandez Castillo, as well. So we're really blessed to be able to work with the 4 actresses.
And how has this changed your life, being able to tell your story this way?
I think on a deep level, it's been able to bring myself out. And that's, we talk about the onions. When we first had discussions about the 8 Ways project, we talked about peeling away the layers. And it's really, I think if you ask all of the authors who is the most hesitant to talk about her story, that would be myself. I was most hesitant because I wanted to make sure that I honored my father. I wasn't exposing quote unquote secrets or anything, which at the time could be deemed shameful or something that you want to keep hidden. I wanted to make sure that I was giving him his due respect and putting it out there in the world as a way that other women could use to heal their own lives as well. I've heard we're only as sick as our secrets. So I think if we're as open as possible about our stories and all the good, the bad, and the ugly, I think that we can have a much more transparent, healing world for all.
I totally agree with you on that. When I was writing my story, I did not put some things that happened about my father in the book because I wanted to save his face, because mm-hmm. my father's still alive. And I had forgiven my father, and he had asked me for forgiveness. And so when writing, I didn't want to hurt him. And I sat down and read my story to my father, and we both cried together. But it was, it's understandable, because if you are healed from something, you don't want to hurt someone else. And I love my father, you know, and so it's a process you go through, and I think it's a very mature person that can do that. At the same time, I needed to tell my story But I was very kind on some aspects, and I probably minimized a lot of things. And, of course, I couldn't have put everything in my book. And so I don't know how far you got in my book reading.
No, I think you did an excellent job because you were able to just say what needed to be said. But that's great that you also were able to share it specifically with him, and you both were able to shed tears as a result. I'm sure there were tears of healing.
Yes, and, yeah. You know, my father, now the thing is, Dad, don't say that because you know you want to go to heaven and see Mom. So, you know, because he still, you know, goes back and forth deciding if he's a Christian or a Muslim. And so that's the only thing I can hit him with to stop him. Dad, don't you want to see Mom? Because she's passed away. And so it's hard, and especially when they get older in their minds and they get, you know, feeble. But I have a son who is schizophrenic, and I totally know what you were going through. And it is very hard because I had to watch my son deteriorate before my eyes, and he's 28 now, and I'm, you know, I totally, and being a nurse, I see families suffer because it's such a devastating illness, and unless you watched it happen to your loved one or a friend, people don't understand it, what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciated your story, and I saw, you know, the pain because you so loved your father, and then it happened. You come home to a stranger, and it's devastating. I just admired your work that you guys did to put this all about, and I want to bring Susan on for just a minute before we take a station break. Susan, hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. And I also got to meet you. I don't know if you remember me. I gave Laura my book at the table when you guys were there. And I have my book. It's all signed up from all of you ladies. And I have to tell you, the girl I brought with me, we had the best time. I laughed so hard because it was so prophetically true how you guys portrayed each person's story. And and I just did, and I'm still admiring it. So you have a background with domestic abuse and violence, and as you say in your brief bio, that you learned to use that to win this game of life.
Mm-hmm.
How has it been for you since the monologues came out in the book?
It's been an amazing journey, an amazing experience that God has me doing. I understand that it's what He wants me to do, and I'm reaching as many people as I can with that message. And I know that there are many others out there doing the same as you're doing, Susan, trying to help people open up and awaken and see the truth about, you know, that God is very active in everybody's life, and he's trying to reach us the only way that we can let Him. We're very limited, I think, in our minds, and many of us have a lot of negative emotions, fears, and doubts and shames that are keeping us from being able to see just how strong and active He is in your life. And so for the rest of us who are trying to help and help ourselves along the way, most of the help that I have to offer is really helping me at the same time. And it's trying to help others realize that you're not alone in this world. And if you're still here, it's because you've got work to do. You've got a journey. You've got work that God has laid out for you. And He has never abandoned you. He's always been there.
Now, all of you ladies are Christians, right? In the book?
Well, I don't know that they're all Christians, but I think we all feel His presence, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I got that impression because every one of you, it seemed that you guys gave great honor to God, and so I wanted to ask if you guys had, if you guys bonded that way and had fellowship in prayer or anything together.
Well, we definitely have fellowship in spirituality, and we have fellowship in prayer, and we have fellowship in just the common denominators that we suffered, and we cried, and we've all been through the hard knocks of life, as many of your listeners, I'm sure, have gone through the same. And I think the difference is that we decided not to let it be the definition of who we are, and we decided not to let it be what our life was going to be all about. It wasn't going to be the story we were going to tell. There's always another side to the story, and so we decided to look at the other side, and that side, I believe, is the love. It's the grace of God. And when you look at your life from that point of view, it's almost like you can't say these things happened to me. It's almost like you've got to say, gosh, these things happened for me so that I could get to this place, this point.
And I agree with that, because I know I would not be the woman I am today had I not experienced those mountains that I climbed to be who I am. And I know that God gave me so much beauty for ashes, because I gave him truckloads of ashes. And so I know we're going to take a station identification break in just a few minutes. And then I want you to talk about how you're healing these people with hypnotherapy and how that happens. Do you just do domestic violence, or is this a job that you you do on a weekly basis? And so we'll take a break and come right back, okay?
Okay.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome back to The Advocate. And with us right now, we have Susan Orozco. She is the author of the story, The Clearing, in the book called 8 Ways to Say I Love My Life, a powerful story of 8 remarkable Latinas. And this is also a monologue play that has been all over Los Angeles and other places. Welcome back, Susan.
I'm back. Here I am.
Yes. Now, I'm reading your bio. It says you're a certified master hypnotist. Now, is this the hypnotism where you just have people relax and take them back to a more pleasant place, or is this a different kind of hypnotherapy?
Well, it started out to be that way. I've always had the intent, when I became a certified hypnotherapist, was to help people get better. I didn't work with seriously ill people or mentally disturbed in any way. I mostly dealt with the worried well. They just worry too much or have too many problems dominating their mind and their lives. So I would work with them. And yes, I would put them under where I would have them relax, stare at something at the wall until their eyes got heavy and closed. And then we began to work with their inner self. But I have since then gone straight to the actual negative emotion that stands in one's way. I've come to the belief where it's really just the negativity that is not of God, I believe. And when you can just go straight to it, like if someone is crying, I know they're there. They're already right where I need them to be. So there's no need to put them under. I just say, you got it. You're there right now, aren't you? And they're like, yeah, I'm here. I'm thinking of my mom, and oh, my God, and she did this, and she did that. I'm like, okay, you're there. Let's not talk to your mom, but let's talk to the actual negative emotion that's that's really taking you over right now. And I have to measure it from a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the least of its power influencing you at that moment, and 10 being the strongest. And I ask them from a scale of 1 to 10, where is it? And they'll tell me, it's a 10. Or they'll say, it's a 7 or a 5 or whatever. And I try to get them as close to a 10 as I can, because we want to confront it. We want to walk through it, right straight through it, with the attitude of authority, with the attitude of, you know, I once needed you, but I don't need you anymore, and I want you gone. I'm with God now. I'm going to let God lead me now, not you. You've been making my decisions, and now it's time for me to go a different direction. Actually, it's the opposite direction, which is towards God, and He's going to take my hand and lead me now. So thank you for being with me all this time, but you can go now. Goodbye. And I do it very quickly. I can do it sometimes in minutes. I've done it to some people within seconds, and I can do it in a busy restaurant. I can do it over the phone. I mean, it's fast, and it's deep, and it's strong, and it's powerful, and that emotion leaves forever and never comes back. It's really very amazing. I believe it's a gift from God.
Right. I know when people are open to change, they are definitely ready, and so I find that with people I pray with, they want prayer, but then when you start praying and you start getting discernment from God what their problem is, that's when you have the struggle, because that has to leave. And
yeah.
So that's the struggle. And I know I listened to a story about a man who had died and gone, came back to life, and he said that he was in heaven for 60 minutes, and he said that when people were praying for things that they needed, the angels were dispatched to bring it to them. And
yes.
The reason that a lot of people didn't get what they asked for was because of all the spiritual warfare going on around them and stuff that had not left, and they couldn't, you know, intervene because that stuff had to be taken care of. And I know forgiveness is for us.
Yes.
It's not for the, you know, other person, although God asks us to forgive them. And so I know for me, when I had to forgive perpetrators and when I was in the victim mode, it was when I gave the forgiveness that I became victorious. And I see that in your attitude, that you have worked through that. And so I commend you for helping others through that also. And I was looking through the book and trying to figure out how many children you actually have, because the book reads different than the monologue. And so you have 3 children?
No, only 2. The monologue and
only
the book show 2. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I must have crossed over into to a different part of it, didn't understand. And so do you want to tell us and the listeners about your title, The Clearing, and how that came about, that you named it that?
Well, it seemed the appropriate title because it was based on these dreams I was having. I was going through a lot of struggles in my life at the time. It was in my early 20s. And I had always had a very, very deep belief in God. I remember when I was 9, 10, 11 years old, I always slept with a Bible underneath my pillow. And I just always felt a real closeness to Him. But when I got in my 20s, my early 20s, after a lot of really negative things had happened to me, I came to the conclusion that I was mad at God and that I didn't want anything to do with Him anymore. I began to doubt He even existed. And just found myself very lost. I became an airline stewardess, and with this one party after another when I wasn't working, and running around with the other stewardesses in Chicago, Illinois, where we were based, and pilots, and I mean, it was just a lot of fun. And it, to me at the time, I thought it was fun. I see now this was very self-destructive, is what it was. And but I was lost, is what was happening to me. And I've come to the conclusion that the further away you move from God, the more self-destructive you get. And so I went through this. And then finally, when I started having my children, I began to see the world differently. I realized that it wasn't all about me anymore. They were watching me. And I thought, what am I teaching them? And then I remember one day when my daughter was like 7 years old, she went with a friend of hers to a Bible study. And I just told her to go. Yeah, go ahead, go. You know, that'll give me time to catch up with the laundry and everything. And it was right down the street, so I knew she was safe with that family that she went with. And then when she came back, she was crying. And I said, what's wrong with you, Miha? What's wrong? And she said, Mommy, baby Jesus died.
Oh.
And I said to myself, oh, my God, I have given her absolutely no education or understanding of religion in any way, shape, or form. And this was her first experience, and she had learned on her first trip that Jesus was killed on the cross. And so I had to settle her down and tell her what I remembered. And so my book, The Clearing, pretty much is about being lost and finding my way back to God and how it started. And that in the clearing, I had to clear away everything that stood between me and him. And there was a lot of blame. I blamed God for a lot of things. I was mad at him. I blamed other people. I was mad at everyone. And forget forgiveness. There was no way I was going to forgive anybody for anything because they deserved for me to hate them for what they did. And that was standing in the way, too. And all these things were just keeping me from him. And I realized I really needed to get back, and I wanted to get back. And then there was a struggle where I didn't want to give up all these things. But then when I finally began to do so, I started to see that my real self, the real life that God intended for me, began to emerge from under the debris. And with the clearing, it became more and more realistic for the reality that God wanted for me. The life he wanted was becoming more clear and attainable. And then I thought, oh, my God, this has been there all this time. It's been waiting for me, but I could never have it. I could never enjoy it. I could never touch it and let it be my blessings because I was holding on to my hate and my blame and my shame and my anger and my guilt and my complete feelings of being a victim. My father did this and my mother did this and my ex-husbands did this. And, yes, I was a victim of domestic violence, so they did that to me too. And the forgiveness came about the clearing. And the main motivator was I did it for my children because I wanted them not to have to go through life lost like I was.
Forgiveness is huge.
It's
and I think it took me, you know, my whole 50 years on earth to get it in my head so clear that I would put it into manifestation and make it work. When I wrote my story, God did the most amazing thing, and I found all of my childhood friends, and he said, bring them to the Lord. And so I found each one by one, and I told them that God had told me to find you, and each one burst out crying, telling me their story of what was going on in their life. And I even called people that I had, you know, done bad things to, and I asked them for forgiveness. And it was like, the more I did that, I was like, I didn't feel like I was a heavy person, even if my weight was heavy, but my soul was so free. I can't tell anybody enough who's listening, forgiveness is huge. And so I make it a point to put that out. And so just like what you're talking about, it's huge.
Yes, it is. It's everything. It's everything. And no matter what it is in life you want, there's only one way to get it, and that's through forgiveness. It's the only way. Because it comes blessed. When it comes from God, it's blessed. And if it's not, if you're not getting it from God, you're getting it from somewhere else. And that's usually temporary. If you want it to be permanent, it has to be through God, and the only way it can be through God is through forgiveness. And forgiveness is letting go of all the reasons why you shouldn't have it.
Now, Susan, before we bring Laura back on, you have on your sound bites of your philosophy about the low self-esteem rising. For those listening, do you want to give an elaboration on that?
Well, it's important to be able to know yourself and to be able to understand what's happening inside you by the emotions that are rising. And a quick way to do that is when you think that someone is putting you down, and you just pay attention to yourself, and you'll notice that an emotion is rising. And that's the emotion that wants to say that you're a victim, that wants to perhaps even attack back to that person or blame that person or start some kind of a situation that's very negative. But instead of doing anything, just pay attention, and you'll notice that it's your low self-esteem that's rising. It's all that's really happening. And as you bring that low self-esteem down, just bring it down. Don't shove it and stuff it, but just bring it down by asking it questions and saying, is that who I really am? Am I really everything this person is saying? Is this who God created? Is this who I've become? No, I don't think so. I don't think God has brought me this far to have me believe that that's who I am. So the answer is no, that is not who I am. Therefore, that person is wrong. That person is probably projecting. Perhaps what that person sees or what they think they see in me is what they see in themselves, because that's not who I am. So that part of you needs to rise and say, no, come back. Come back to who you really are. One thing I learned in my life was the closer I stick to God, the better off I am. So in cases like that where a negative emotion starts to want to hijack me, I just get as close as I can to God and to what I know for a fact he believes about me. And then the low self-esteem just starts to come back down. And I think in time, one day you'll notice it never rises again.
That's beautiful. I want to bring Laura back on. And Laura, I want to ask you about your communications specialist. And do you go around speaking, and where have you been with that journey?
Well, I
think our phone is not picking you up, Laura.
Oh, actually,
there we go.
Do you want to pick? Oh, okay. If I happen to drop off for whatever reason, Susan can pick up. So,
okay.
But I was blessed to have discovered Toastmasters International, and that's how I actually met Susan, Margot, Nancy, Belle, Rita, Joanna. We met at a Toastmasters nonprofit speaking and leadership club in downtown Los Angeles. And that is where I've been able to hone the public speaking skills. I love it. When I visit San Antonio, I speak to young girls, and I really enjoy it. We had a chance to actually have dramatic readings of our own monologues at the Chino Women's State Prison just last month, and it was a phenomenal experience. Loved it. So just really, really blessed to have been on this journey, to be able to share the message, to be able to share our stories with other people through speaking venues and through, you know, obviously this book as well. So I'm feeling really, really blessed.
And also you're a book club coordinator. Is that a group in Los Angeles or is that national?
Sure, that's actually national. Las Comadres is an organization which actually is for Latina women, but the book club is for everyone. It's a way to give exposure to books that are written by Latinos, Latinas. And for 2013, last month, the January book was Sandra Cisneros' Have You Seen Marie? And we're privileged to have our book, The 8 Ways to Say I Love My Life, be the February selection nationally. So, yes, absolutely, you can go to lascomadres.org, and there are book club meetings that take place all over the nation, and everyone is welcome to attend those book club meetings.
Wow. So how many publications have you guys had of your book so far?
Oh, you know, I don't don't know.
Either one of you.
Okay.
Is it Lord, in the? It's in the. It was printed. When was the first printing of this? In 2000.
It was in November of 2012. Yeah, and to be honest with you, we haven't gotten a report yet.
Oh, okay. So
yeah.
The book came out in 2012, but the monologues were in 2009.
Plus, we had another run in 2012.
Oh, okay. I had it backwards. Wow.
So
we
go
over.
We
are really going all over.
Yeah.
and the publisher of the book is also Pretty Book Press, which is based in Houston, Texas.
Now, who did the cover of this book? Was that you, Laura?
Actually, no, it was Arte Publico, our publisher, did the cover.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep, the covers, I actually have it here. The cover design was by Mora Design, and the person who took the picture was Angela Maria Ortiz S. Yeah.
So, ladies, I have you both here, both phenomenal ladies, trailblazers in your Latinas of America. And I met you, Laura, at a Latina fundraiser. And we're having a fundraiser this weekend with Safe Passage. We help the victims of domestic violence after they're out of the relationship. And I'm a board member there. And so I donated my book, 50% of the proceeds, to that organization because I wanted to give back. I didn't want it to be about me. But, of course, it is about you when you're doing book signings and you're going around speaking. And so the funds go to help restore women who, like me, was once broken. And so both of you triumph in your messages. And so is there one thing either one of you would want to say to our listening audience before we go off the air today and a message that you would like to give either one of you or both of you?
I would like to give a message that I would like to challenge all the women listening to this broadcast that I believe that God has asked all women, and I'm sure he has his own assignments for the men as well, but I believe that he has a female assignment where he would want the women to understand that he created us with a very strong emotional inner self, and for us, it was meant to be only love. We have turned it into other things, but he would like for us to get closer to that ability and to become stronger. And the way to do that is to have a good relationship with him. And I think in order to get one, it's just ask. Ask and you shall receive. Ask him, please, help me communicate with you. Let the communication between you and I become stronger so that I recognize when it's you that's talking to me. If we could all just ask that, I think the world would change, and it would start by your family, then your community, and it would grow and grow and grow. And I do believe men listen to women when it comes to the subject of emotions. So we are sort of the guiders. We're the ones who guide everybody about how to feel about our emotional lives. And it deserves prayer.
That's beautiful. How about you, Laura?
Well, I'm actually going to just read a couple of sentences from Josefina Lopez's chapter, which actually kind of summarizes my own. And really quickly, it's, women must claim their power now, not just because it is the right thing to do. Claiming their power is the only way women can heal the world and restore balance to this planet, which needs to reclaim the sacred feminine to survive. If we feel it, we can heal it. So with that, I would just challenge everyone, to all the women listeners, everyone, to look at anything that happens to them as just a way, a venue to grow stronger. And I believe that if we embrace our own powers, we help others to embrace theirs as well.
That's beautiful. I sure like to thank you both for coming on the show. And for those listening, 8 Ways to Say I Love My Life, Powerful Stories of 8 Remarkable Latinas, and the foreword was by Vicky Carr. And this book is available where, ladies?
Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble.
Yay!
And you can find us on Facebook, 8 Ways to Say.
On Facebook. And where are you guys doing another screening? Is there one in the near future?
Laura should know that.
We don't have plans for immediate plans for a play at this moment. However, we do have several of the book club meetings that are scheduled. We also have several interviews that are also coming for Women's History Month as well for March. So all of that.
And where is Women's History Month going to be held?
I'm sorry?
Women's History Month, is that in downtown Los Angeles?
We'll actually have probably several readings, and all of those will be listed on the 8waystosay.com website.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. I sure want to follow you guys. I had so much fun. So much fun. And tell the rest of the women, I'm sorry they couldn't all be on the show, but we probably can bring them back at another time. And I recommend anyone who wants to say they love their life and don't know how to do it to read this book. You'll laugh, you'll smile, you'll cry, and you will come out of this book a better person, seeing that you're not alone and that you have a God above who does listen. And I thank each one of you. I'm just going to close this out with a prayer today. And so those of you listening that don't know how to have a personal relationship with Jesus, I want to make it available to you by telling you that you can go to the Bible. And in Romans 10:9-10, it says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." It's that easy. You welcome Jesus into your life, and he's your personal Savior, advocate. He is there for you, and he says in his word that you can cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. And so many times in my life, I had nobody else but God, and God was so close to me because I had that personal relationship that I could cry out knowing that even if I didn't see him or feel him around me, I knew he was there. And everything I've ever asked God for has been answered. And I don't ask God for $1 million, but I ask God for things that I need. And if your need and your want is parallel, it will come to pass. And the reason I get my needs met is because I am quick to forgive, and I have learned that the hard way. And so those of you who do not know how to forgive, it takes putting on in your mind, reading things that are positive. And if you're not a fan of the Bible, there's a lot of positive thinking books out there. But if you are a fan of the Bible, if you are a believer and you love reading the Word, go to the Bible and you start putting on more light and the darkness will leave. You will find that doors will open to you. And women, we are the more sensitive out of the species, men and women, and we've been given the most awesome opportunity to bear children, bring them into the world, and show love. And what greater love than to nurture your child and bring them up loving other people. We have a society that is violent, and we have to put the message out that it is not okay to put your hands on another person. It is not okay to rape another person. It is not okay to molest a child. It is not okay to put cigarette butts out on a child. It is not okay to do drugs and offer drugs to a child. It is not okay for a man or a woman to be abused or either to abuse each other. So for those people, I just thank you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would forgive all of our trespasses against us and that we forgive those who've trespassed also on us. Thank you, God, that you make it available for forgiveness. You make it available for us to be on this radio show to share lives, true stories of triumphs and sorrows. Father, we give you all the glory. I call out everyone who is lonely, brokenhearted, to come now and ask God into your life. Ask Jesus to be your personal Savior. And I thank you, God Almighty, for touching each person listening and open the doors for each person who's spoken today and forgive each of us anything that is left on our generations that does not need to be there, that has not been forgiven, to remove it out of our way. I thank you, God, for opening the miles ahead of us so that the roads are free and clear, that we can bring your message around the world, whether it be in a book, a song, a word spoken. Father, we just declare that it is about you, and we get out of our own way to bring someone else a peaceful life. So I thank you, listeners, for supporting the show by listening. Thank you for our sponsors, amazing sponsors, for Rebecca Lawler Limited and her Hearts for Hope Foundation, for Jimmy James and his music. I thank you for all those who at Soul Sister Enterprises, and I thank you for Maria and Maria Magdalena. I thank you for all those who have come in to make this show possible. Thank you for the ones who stand on the front lines for domestic violence and sexual abuse, that we will not stop until everybody knows that it's not okay to put your hands on someone. Thank you for all those who are healing from wounds, and we just pray for you and stand in the gap for you. And until next week, this is Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate for domestic violence and sexual abuse. I wrote my story in a book called Journey to My Father's Palace, also available on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, and Zulon Press. And you can find the book at ChristianReading.com. And if you'd like a signed copy, please come on the show and give us your personal information, and we will send it to you. In fact, the first 5 people who call in can get a personal signed copy for free when you call in next week's show. And this has been Susan Shengazar with The Advocate. See you next week.
Soul Sister Radio. Soul Sister Radio.